Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Nick Borg to the broadcast. Nick is the co-founder and chief product officer of Edmodo, a private K-12 classroom communication tool that's drawn over 15 million teachers and students together in only 4 years. On the secure platform, teachers and students can collaborate, share content, and access educational apps to augment in-class learning. Edmodo's stated goal is to create social media tools that help teachers engage students and to make sure every school in the world has access to them. Before launching Edmodo, Borg worked at Caneland High School in Maple Park, Illinois for 7 years, building web-based tools and learning management solutions. He's been named to Forbes' prestigious 30 Under 30 list as an innovative entrepreneur under the age of 30. Nick has a bachelor's degree from Northern Illinois University. I recently spoke with Nick in his office in San Mateo, California, and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 4, IT and Business Partnerships, as Nick spoke about the merger of technology and business disciplines that has brought to life an offering that benefits teachers, students, parents, and content providers alike, as well as a variety of other topics. The Forum on World-Class IT is brought to you by Red Hat, the world's leading open-source solutions provider. Learn more at redhat.com. Nick Borg, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT. It's great to have you here.
Thanks, Peter. It's great to be here.
So, Nick, I thought we'd begin with Edmodo itself and your description of the business. Obviously, education technology has really blossomed in the past several years with a number of very prominent players, both individuals and companies that have emerged. And Edmodo is one of those that is often mentioned as an innovator in the education technology space. But I wanted to begin with a description of the company in your own words.
So, you know, Edmodo is the largest free K-12 social learning network, which provides teachers and students a safe and easy way to connect and collaborate. It's used heavily in the classroom, but also extends that classroom environment. You know, it's a real-time platform to exchange ideas, share content, access homework and grades. You know, our mission is to help all learners reach their full potential, and we believe that by connecting them to the resources and content they need, we can achieve that goal.
And it seems to be in some ways a recognition that those students who are pre-K through 12 are to a greater extent leveraging social media. And as that is a way in which they are communicating and collaborating, it would make sense to incorporate that into the classroom setting as well. And I wonder how you see this blending with the traditional classroom setting in the pre-K through 12 levels.
My background was actually working for schools and districts building web applications and tools in the IT department. So seeing day in and day out what was working, what was being used by teachers, and really the problems that they faced as we kind of had this transition from analog to digital in the classroom realm. One of the keys to that is building products that people want to use. From a student perspective, you know, they were connected on products just like you were mentioning that, you know, leverage all of these kind of social networking features outside the classroom. But when you got inside the classroom, you either really didn't have tools anywhere close to meeting those needs or driving that engagement. And that was really where the genesis of Edmodo started. It was, how do we build products that are solving real problems for teachers? Simple as getting a great new digital resource that they discovered to their students. That was a challenge and was holding back a lot of potentially innovative experiences at the classroom level. At the same time, we had to build a tool that students would have an intuitive sense about how to use and be able to communicate with their classmates and teachers.
And as you spoke with teachers in the early stages of the development of the company, and I suppose as you continue those conversations with those same teachers, why was there the need for more of a digital platform and a means of communicating with students in new ways? Was there something they saw as lacking in the traditional means of educating their students that was particularly stark for you?
I think it really goes back to your point around engagement. The world of media was evolving so rapidly outside the classroom that to really capture students' attention, teachers had to be just as dynamic and even play a little bit of catch up. And so without those tools, without simple ways to get their classroom online, it just wasn't going to be possible to continually get the attention needed from their students to drive that learning process.
Obviously, there are a number of constituents that you sit in the middle of. You are essentially a hub between students, educators, administrators, parents, I know, also have a role to play here, especially given the age of the people that you're targeting, and then the content providers. How have you thought about establishing a web of partnerships with those who provide the content to be used through Edmodo?
We absolutely started off with teachers at the center and had to figure out what kind of products could we build for teachers that would actually get them to adopt them in their classroom and bring their students online. Quickly, teachers began to connect with one another on the platform, sharing resources, sharing best practices, finding, you know, a dozen other teachers teaching the same thing that they were on that day, and having a, you know, kind of a level of an ability to leverage a network like they'd never had before. What that did was quickly, you know, made us one of the top lead gens to a number of digital publishers. And so they came to us with a couple of key insights. They said, first of all, so often we are disconnected from our end users. And I think this goes back to one of the fundamental issues that Edmodo tried to address. A lot of the things built, you know, presumably for classrooms, are really designed with administrator audience in mind or an administrator checklist of features. And that disconnect between the purchaser and the actual end user, seen in many other fields, creates odd results. And so publishers came to us saying, you know, how do we connect and find out how our content is being leveraged in classrooms, what's working, what isn't? The other thing that they're constantly struggling with is a means of distribution. And this has always been one of the keys for why we believe growth at Edmodo is so incredibly important, so that we can begin to revolutionize the distribution model for this content. If you're creating a brand new, innovative way of, let's say, relating the concept of mitosis, right now it's still pretty hard to get that into a lot of classrooms fast. And particularly, you know, when we started out, it would take years for a publisher to really get any scale with their content going kind of from the top down, from school to school. So they saw us as a new potential way to get content directly into classrooms at a much faster rate. And that's incredibly important for there to be innovation in the space. The stagnation in kind of K-12 content, in many respects, goes back to the decision-making cycles are so long. And when the decision-making cycles are so long and there's really no feedback loops in place to tell you what's actually being used, what's actually driving results at a granular level, the incentive for innovation on the content side dwindles greatly.
As I think about the students who interact with Edmodo, the range of ages that you include are vastly different, and their ability to use technology, their familiarity with it, their ability to speak and learn and read and so forth varies tremendously as well. In stark contrast, for instance, with the MOOCs who focus on university-level curricula, how have you thought about the use of technology at such a vast array of ages and levels and abilities to learn?
Key for us has always been to focus our product on the things that are in common, the things that are in common between that third grade classroom and that 11th grade English classroom or 9th grade math classroom. What it really kind of boiled down to was sharing, evaluation, and discovery. No matter what classroom you're in, those are kind of the loop that seems to occur. And so how do we build things that are extremely simple for teachers to get content to their students, for students to get content back to their teachers, for evaluation to occur at a speed and a frequency so that it actually helps the learning process? And then how do we use that to drive discovery at that classroom level so that teachers immediately are finding out, hey, I shared this particular, let's say, a PDF with my students, and only half of them really even opened it. There's another teacher, let's say, across the country that has shared a resource that is incredibly engaging on that same topic. We can surface that directly to that teacher at that time. So that kind of applied to that full grade range. Another interesting kind of anecdote, when we started out, we saw that fifth grade was around the time that teachers began bringing their students on Edmodo. Kind of K through five, teachers were definitely on the platform for professional development, but they hadn't yet brought their students on. We're now seeing that kind of starting point in the third grade, and it seems to be tied to when keyboarding classes start. For us, the reason we focused on K-12 is because we really believe that's where you can have the most profound impact on a society. The learning that happens during those years reaches so many people that it's really critical we get that right. So as we look towards the future, exploring more and more ways to reach that sort of pre-K through third grade audience before they're typing on keyboards, definitely something of interest to us. And with the prevalence of mobile devices and touch interfaces, we think there's a lot of opportunities there.
What role does analytics play? To what extent is there technology that can help derive conclusions or help a teacher make better decisions as a result of using Edmodo?
The power of a network is always the different types of products you can build on top of that data. And what's most interesting to us is how do we build things that actually help teachers out? So if we can find ways to leverage that data and surface it to a teacher and do it in a way that's useful, that's really, really been the key. There's certainly no shortage of talk about data in education, but for it to actually have an impact and be useful, it's really about how are you building things and experiences on top of that work in the classroom and that teachers will use.
Can you give some examples of that?
Yeah, definitely. So the idea of looking at what content is actually accessed when a teacher shares that content with their students, starting to think about, you know, from a teacher perspective, hey, was there a correlation between the students that actually engaged with this particular piece of content that I shared and how they did on that quiz that I sent out on the same topic? It's sort of those types of insights that can actually increase the efficiency and improve the day-to-day for a teacher so that they're spending their time in the right places and not necessarily being kind of lost in a swarm of information.
And naturally, you have a lot of sensitive data about students, about teachers. How have you thought about security as the whole business naturally predicated on keeping and maintaining the sanctity of the data of those people who are using it?
It's definitely an incredibly important issue and one that we always have at the top of our mind. And this conversation is not going to go away anytime soon, and I think that's a really good thing. We always take the utmost care with student data, with how we're presenting it within the system. We've built our product. One of the main differentiators has always been that Edmodo was built for the classroom so that the types of communication, who can see what information, is strictly controlled. And that's absolutely important. It's also key for us that Edmodo puts the teacher at the center. The teacher is controlling those classroom interactions. And with the ability for parents to join on the platform, they really have a great deal of control over that student experience and information.
And what do you, aside from ensuring that it is a productive and safe environment for their child, what productive role do you see parents playing using Edmodo in helping their child advance appropriately?
So kind of two main things. The first is, you know, just being up to date on what's going on in the student's classroom. We always hear from parents and teachers that all the sheets of paper that go into the backpack don't always make it all the way home. And Edmodo provides a way for parents to remain connected to what's going on in the classroom. The other part of that, which I think going forward in the future is extremely exciting, is how do we give parents insights into where their child's understanding is right now and what types of, for lack of a better term, consumer learning experiences that they can augment the classroom experience with. So whether that's forms of tutoring, whether it's the iPad apps that they're installing for their children, how do you make sure that those are addressing either the gaps that their student is experiencing in the classroom or challenging that student enough and pushing them forward, but really kind of connecting learning across the classroom and at home and bridging that divide is a huge deal going forward.
I wanted to move on to the revenue model for the organization. How do you currently earn your revenue, and how do you see that changing as time passes?
So we've been incredibly focused on growth and have been able to put together, you know, a set of investors from VCs that fully believe in network effects and know that building the network is absolutely the first step. Right now, we have on the Edmodo store premium content being sold in which there's a rev share that Edmodo takes. But we don't disclose all the details of that right now.
Is it premium content, though, that you see as the long-term revenue opportunity for the organization?
You know, we think that ultimately connecting all these classrooms in a network, in a global network, is going to open up a range of opportunities that are very teacher-focused and can really supercharge the learning that's occurring in classrooms.
I also wanted to ask you just about you personally as an entrepreneur. To what extent were you an entrepreneur in search of an idea versus someone who found an idea that made you into an entrepreneur?
In some ways, I feel like I'm still working on the same project that I was working on all those years ago at the Cayman School District. It's really how do we bring technology in the class that people want to use, the products, and that are solving real problems. And really the extension of what Edmodo has provided an opportunity for me to work on is to do that at a scale where I think we can have even more profound impact because of the power of that network.
Nick Borg, thank you so much for joining us here on the Forum on World-Class IT and sharing a bit about your experience in setting up Edmodo and running Edmodo and your own perspectives on the development of education technology, more generally speaking.
Thank you, Peter.
The Forum on World-Class IT would like to thank Red Hat, the world's leading provider of open-source solutions, for being our corporate sponsor. Red Hat believes in the power of openness and shared knowledge to transform how we all do business. Learn more at redhat.com. Listen to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategies Forum on World-Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World-Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World-Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategies' five principles of world-class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.